Hello and welcome to another episode of What's Up, Prof. Hello, Walter.
Hello, Martin.
Yes, I feel like I also feel like that.
I actually feel fine.
Oh, that's great.
Yes.
Well, that's what I said. I also feel like that.
Oh, then you're also feeling fine.
Yes.
Okay. It's going to be a boring then.
Yeah, okay. So maybe we must just go and then we'll start over when we're feeling not so good.
Yes, okay. Let's do that. So, we're talking about an abundance of rain.
Yes, it's still following on the previous two of Will You Be Able to Stand?
Why does that ship look in such a mess there?
Well, if the people can remember, it was hitting that iceberg.
Okay, well, why is it messed up in the middle if it hit the iceberg from the front?
It's a bit difficult to get it to show. Maybe that's how what's going to happen after a big shaking that choked it.
I think that ship didn't only hit the iceberg. I think it hit a tempestuous wind called Eurocleidon.
Yes.
And yes. It's in bad shape, but it's still afloat.
It's still afloat.
Yeah.
It might look as if it's about to fall or fail or break up, but it will go through.
I think. Do you think it hit the island of Malta maybe as well?
Maybe.
Military arm of the beast.
I hope that the people stayed on the ship and didn't take the rafts.
I think they're all hiding in the back there.
Yeah, no. No, I think it's, we can talk a little bit about how will we be able, or what must we do to be still on that ship?
Yes, as long as it receives that rain and that bird is hovering above, then I'll take my chances on that ship.
I agree. Let's open pray. With a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us together again. Yes, Lord, we are living in momentous times and we need your blessing and your Holy Spirit more than ever. So we ask that you enlighten our minds and also guide this discussion. In Jesus' name, amen. Just before we dive into this, maybe I just want to do an announcement again that we are going to be traveling again early next year.
God willing.
God willing, definitely. So we'll be visiting New Zealand, Auckland, Melbourne in Australia, and then Mullumbimby. But for more information, there's still more information to follow, but I'll put some links and contact details in the description for people that are interested.
Okay.
Okay. So now we can dive into this.
All right, Martin. So once this great conflict takes place, then if we take our minds back to what happened in Paul's journey on the way to Rome, when they crashed into the island of Malta, there was also an abundance of rain. Mm. And he had to deal with a couple of serpents that tried to interfere with his ministry, but they were useless.
Shaken off.
They were shaken off. So, Martin, how do we stand when things look so foreboding?
You see, we've clearly shown, that's why it became a third episode, how things are really getting to a confrontation.
We're heading for the confrontation. There is no way in which to avoid it. And so we have to meet the iceberg head on. And yes, let's bump into Melita and see how it goes.
Yeah, and isn't it interesting that it's also going along with trouble in the camp?
Yes.
So on the ship, it's not all roses and sunshine.
Do you think some might be shaken off by the shocks?
Well,
some might want to lower some ships and get off.
Yeah, and get out of there.
See if they can join the ecumenical movement in the last minute. Maybe that'll help them.
Yeah.
That's not going to cut it, right?
No. So we must know what to do and how to stand for this.
No, stay on the ship. Stay on the ship. Will you stand, Martin? We need to pray for the latter rain, for the outpouring of the latter rain. But will you receive the latter rain if you have refused the former rain?
But now, please, just let's explain what is the former rain. because it sounds so good, and maybe, okay, let's pray for the latter rain, but and what does it mean? What's the former rain?
Well, what does the latter rain do? Doesn't it bring the final ripening of the harvest?
Mm-hmm.
But in order to grow to a point where there is something to ripen, you have to have the former rain.
Mm-hmm.
So your first experience in Christianity is what makes the seed germinate that fell onto good ground.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those seeds don't necessarily fall onto good ground. They might even sprout, but then some of them are on stony ground. They don't have enough root. Mm-hmm. When a wind comes, they're gone. Some of them fall amongst the weeds, and they get choked by the cares of this world, and they give up, and some of them fall onto good ground, and then they yield much fruit.
That's it.
They won't yield the good fruit if there's no latter rain.
Yeah.
Because that brings the ripening. So it's like the virgins and their oil.
Mm.
If they neglected the oil, the lessons that the Holy Spirit wants to teach you,
mm-hmm.
that changes your character and bring it into harmony with the heavenly character, if that hasn't happened, then you might end up with too little oil.
Okay.
And then you have to go and find it, but there's no time.
Mm.
Because while you're running around, and if you neglected the word, people will be running to and fro, trying to find it, but they will not find it. And then the bridegroom comes, and those that had their lamps trimmed and had enough oil went in, and the others were running to and fro and arrived at the door, knocked and said,
"Yeah.
Did we not do this? Did we not do that?" And he said, "Sorry, I just don't know who you are."
Yeah.
Hey, Martin, there's a serious issue.
And we will get to that later on, but the real problem that happened to those is there was an eye problem.
Oh, they had an eye problem.
Yes. Not an eye one. But we'll get to that.
But even an eye one.
Even that one as well.
Because in Laodicea, they could have purchased the Caledrium eye salve that the literal Laodicea was famous for.
Yeah.
So that they could see properly.
Yeah.
Distinguish between good and evil, right and wrong, truth and error.
Yeah. So if we state it then, the early rain is the working of the Holy Spirit in your body, in your heart, in your mind.
And discernment.
And
you know, Martin, I've been working on our next WhatsApp prof. And I don't want to jump the gun.
No, but an advert's always good.
Just a little advertisement. Well, Martin, if you think about discernment, and you think about doctrines, and you know the Bible says, take heed of the doctrine. I know the Pope is not in favor of doctrine, but that's his problem. Not
the Bible
mine.
Is in favor of it.
The Bible is in favor of doctrine. And the Bible says, you know, that if you do what is right and you follow Christ, you will know of the doctrine.
Yeah.
There's no reason not to know of the doctrine. And if you think of all the false doctrines that have been peddled that somehow place a dark, foreboding light on the character of God, then I don't know how some of the churches will face the judgment, because what they have done to the character of God is incredible. Just take, for example, I'm jumping the gun now, I'm being naughty, but take the doctrine of the immortality of the soul and combine it with the doctrine of hell. What do you have then? Then you have eternal torment for those that don't make it.
Immortality,
right?
But suffering for eternity.
What does that do to the character of God? Well, let's say you do make it, then you end up in purgatory. You suffer again. What does that do to the character of God?
Yeah, there's nothing left.
When Isaiah 53 quite plainly tells us, by his stripes we are healed.
Yeah.
The suffering that was due to us fell upon him, right? Mm. I mean, these terrible, terrible doctrines, or the doctrine of arbitrary predestination, mm. where God predestines you to hell before you are even born, or predestines you to heaven whether you want to go or not.
Yeah.
And I mean, these horrendous doctrines that place such a evil light on the character of God.
Mm.
I was just wondering, you know, Martin, is it surprising that so many people become atheists rather than believe in such a deity?
No, for sure not.
Or if you don't believe in such a deity and you become an atheist, but you don't necessarily do evil things, others again will say, well, obviously such a God doesn't exist and they can become infidels.
Mm.
And I think that the church will have to give an account.
Oh, for sure they will.
Why did you preach such doctrines? Did you find them in the Bible, or did you distort them out of the Bible?
Teachings, the commandment, for doctrine, the commandments of men. That's a doctrine concocted. It's not in the Bible.
No. And then you have this interesting story that people believe that they are chosen to set up the kingdom, when God is the one that rewards those that have been faithful, and they will be part of the first resurrection. And those that are living when Christ comes, they will be rewarded with a translation. And those are the heirs of the kingdom. Mm. Not these self-appointed ones that are setting up a kingdom down here, right?
No.
And with all this confusion out there, how can the latter rain fall on confusion?
No, so that's why there's a specific group and a specific criteria for the people that will receive the latter rain.
Yes.
And it does not, and that does not happen by affiliation.
No. And it's important to know, the latter rain doesn't necessarily fall on those who know the truth.
No, that's exactly what I'm saying. So if you affiliate with a certain church, that does not guarantee that you'll receive the latter rain.
So you might have all the truth, you might know all the truth, but you don't live up to it.
Yes.
Then you haven't been changed by the former rain,
exactly,
the early rain.
The Holy Spirit working.
In other words, you didn't have any growth.
If we take it back to the disciples,
yes,
they couldn't receive the latter rain
until there was unity amongst them.
Yes, and that only came after the crucifixion.
Correct. And then, you know, the Bible says that they were of one accord.
Mm.
Even in terms of the doctrine of the disciples. So that's very important, right? So you must understand and you must know the doctrine, but you must also have been transformed by it.
We must put in a link again, total transformation. I think people can watch that again as well.
You're stirring, Martin.
It's okay.
Mordecai and the gate.
Yeah. Actually, that was in Prophets and Kings. We were studying that with the youth.
Yeah.
Beautiful rendition of Mordecai and the Gate as well in there.
Okay.
So they can go and watch the Total Transformation series.
Well,
again,
let's read a little bit here what we read in these inspired writings. The latter rain, ripening earth's harvest, represents the spiritual grace that prepares the church for the coming of the Son of Man. Now, when it says prepares the church, is that all of it or those that have grown to the point where they can receive it?
Yep. To be part of God's remnant church, there's certain criteria. We know that. It's in Revelation 12, 17 and Revelation 14. But you have to do those things.
Yes.
And then it qualifies for a church. And then in your person, you also have to do it.
You know, and when Paul lists the things that we once were, and then he says, and such were some of you, but you have been washed, you have been transformed.
Yeah.
So, but unless the former rain has fallen, there will be no life. There's no seed to ripen. The green blade will not spring up unless the early showers have done the work. The latter rain can bring no seed to perfection. Isn't that exactly what we said?
That's exactly. So if we can just make it a picture, you are currently now receiving the early rain.
Constantly.
Constantly. And the way that you react to it.
And that's why we have wives to remind us where we are on this path. They know exactly where we are on the path.
I'm not saying anything. You're in trouble on your own.
Must I be at this cross by myself here?
No.
All right.
So we are constantly, we are in the time now of the early rain. How the Holy Spirit works on you, this is how you prepare to get on that boat.
Many have in a great measure failed to receive the former rain. Mm. They have not obtained all the benefits that God has thus provided for them. They expect that the lack will be supplied by the latter rain. That's a wishful thinking.
Yeah.
Unless we are daily advancing in the exemplification of the active Christian virtues, we shall not recognize the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the latter rain. It's like being tuned in.
Yeah. Yes. And if you don't have that that radio perfectly, it's going to, you know,
make a noise. Yeah. You know, I was thinking, God gave us prophecy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the prophecy is to tell us where we are in the stream of time.
Yeah.
If you say, I don't need this stuff, then what incentive is there to say, wow, am I right with God?
No.
Am I ready, as the Bible says, prepare to meet thy God? Am I ready?
Well, let's put it back a few years when that worldwide shock came.
How many people panicked?
Panicked, because am I ready?
Yes.
And now, what? We went back into a little slumber again.
Some went into such a nervous state, it was shocking to watch. It may be falling on hearts all around us, but we shall not discern or receive it. That's rather sad.
It is.
Divine grace is needed at the beginning, divine grace at every step of advance. And divine grace alone can complete the work. The Bible is pretty clear. Without him, we can do
nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. There's no place for us to rest in a careless attitude. We must never forget the warnings of Christ. Watch unto prayer. Watch and pray always. A connection with the divine agency every moment is essential to our progress. We may have had a measure of the Spirit of God, but by prayer and faith, we are continually to seek more of the Spirit. It will never do to cease our efforts. There's never a time when you have arrived, right?
It's very clear. And that's, how many times did Paul say you have to die?
Daily.
Daily.
And the funny thing is, when you think, well, I sort of have this little thing under control, and something happens when you realize that it is totally not under your control.
What isn't there a scripture that says we should pray for tribulation or for trials?
Martin, please stop now. You're making my life a misery. If we do not progress, if we do not place ourselves in an attitude to receive both the former and the latter rain, we shall lose our souls and the responsibility will lie at our own door. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. This is biblical.
Yeah.
Do not rest satisfied in the ordinary course of the season. Rain will fall. Ask for it.
So why are you asking for it? Because God's going to supply it.
All right. It's very important that we understand motive.
Mm.
Am I asking for the latter rain to have confirmation that, you know, I'm one of the chosen ones?
Mm.
and can now inform everybody?
No.
Or am I asking for the latter rain because I have the same compassion that he had for humanity?
That's the one. And then that's why I'm asking. Why do you ask for it? Because it's for you. It's God wants you to realize that you need him.
Yes,
you need the Holy Spirit.
Because without him, you can do nothing.
Yeah.
So the convocation of the church, as in camp meetings, the assemblies of the home church, and all occasions where there is personal labor for souls, are God's appointed opportunities for giving the early and the latter rain. That's one thing that I've realized in my life, Martin, is it's definitely true that the sword of the Spirit is a double-edged sword.
Yeah, that's very true, yeah.
When you give, you receive more back. We've got the School of the Prophets now at the moment, right?
Mm.
And we are giving courses on Revelation and Daniel and where we are in the stream of time and trying to connect all the dots and pulling it together. And it's not the first time we're doing this, right?
Mm. No, it's the third time.
It's the third time. And I find it amazing every time that you do it, you actually become more edified than maybe they do. Because all of a sudden you see connections that you never saw before.
God works so in your with you, the one presenting.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you don't share,
you don't receive.
You don't receive.
Mm.
If you don't pour out your cup, how can you expect it to be filled again?
Yeah.
And if it does get filled, does it get filled with exactly the same things that you poured out last time, or is there more?
There's more. And that God promises that.
Yes.
It's like the talents.
Yeah.
The one that kept the talent didn't help anything.
No.
But when he started utilizing the talent,
yes,
he got more back.
So this is very important. If you don't share your faith, how are you going to, in the latter rain, suddenly be a super sharer?
Yeah. It's not going to be a magic wand turning you and making you now sharp. It's like it said there. Don't think that what you lack now with the early rain
is going to
get made up.
All right. You don't have to be an eloquent speaker. You don't have to. It's the little things that matter. It's the little touch here, the little attention there, the kind word here, the encouragement there. That's what makes a difference. And your life. Martin, do people watch you?
Oh, okay. Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Constantly. That people have a magnifying glass on you.
Okay. Can you be fake?
You can, but they're going to catch you out.
What if you think that you're now in a private place and that, well, now you're not under scrutiny, you can do whatever you like. If you don't live it, you don't have it.
Yeah, that's true.
Huh? Otherwise, you're a hypocrite. You're fake.
If you live fake, it's, what's that, how does it, the saying go? If you tell the truth, it's easy to remember it, but to tell a lie, you're going to fail because you cannot keep up with what you've been lying the whole time.
Evolution's been doing a good job.
Yeah, but they've got a few cracks.
And there are a couple of cracks in it. Absolutely, there are cracks in it. All right, so let none think that in attending these gatherings, their duty is done.
Mm.
A mere attendance upon all the meetings that are held will not itself bring a blessing to the soul. If you're receiving in these messages, fine. But once you have received, you have to share.
Yeah.
And it's in sharing that you are molded.
That's true.
Because you're always going to get a positive response when you share, right, Martin? No.
No.
You're going to get clobbered.
Yeah. But now, you see, while we're talking, this is now, the sharing part is also, once you've received, you share out to outside because that's our main goal, is we have to go and evangelize. But this also has to do, look, where do you get this Holy Spirit? Where do you, or this convocation? It is in the church, in camp meetings. So by neglecting those,
you're injuring your soul.
You're injuring your soul, and it's in there, in the church, in the camp, where you also get a little bit of confrontation sometimes.
And remember, each one has a different spiritual gift, but you have to exercise it. Let's say your gift is hospitality. Mm. You make people feel comfortable. Yeah. You know who had the gift of hospitality in the Bible? It was Lazarus's family.
Yeah. Is it Martha?
Yes.
Yeah.
Martha was grumbling in the kitchen, and Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. And Lazarus, I assume he was a relaxed guy, and it was just so pleasing to be in that house. Yeah. There was no pressure. You could...
Yeah, that's why Jesus loved to go there.
Huh?
He could get it. It's a place where he could recharge a little bit.
Recharge his battery. Yeah. That is a gift of the Holy Spirit to be able to that. Mm. So fascinating. There are different things that you can do. So how do you prepare for it? You have to allow the Holy Spirit to mold you into that condition.
That's it.
Hospitality, friendliness. And some may have the gift of teaching. Mm. Well, there are people that like to read a lot, that like to understand things and try to put things together. And great if you can do that. But what's the point if it goes to the grave and the worms eat it then?
No, share.
Share it.
Share it. The other thing is also, don't force your gift onto somebody else. Because that happens quite a lot. You get agitated with other people that don't do it like you.
Exactly. But you have your gifts and other people have their gifts. You know, there's a saying in Afrikaans, "Schoenmaker hou jou by jou leers."
Yes.
Shoemaker, stay with that which you're good at.
Yeah.
All right. So God calls you and God wants you to use these gifts. And in the latter rain, once you have exercised these virtues...
In the current situation.
In the current situations, then you will naturally just continue, and you probably won't even know that you have received the latter rain.
Yeah.
It'll just be so natural.
That's it. And it will be so much more effective.
Yes. So let us with contrite hearts pray most earnestly that now in the time of the latter rain the showers of grace may fall upon us. At every meeting we attend, our prayers should ascend, that at this very time God will impart warmth and moisture to our souls. As we seek God for the Holy Spirit, it will work in us meekness, humbleness of mind, a conscious dependence upon God for the perfecting latter rain. If we pray for the blessing in faith, we shall receive it as God has promised. There's no presumption there.
No. That's a very important thing. Because presumption
is Satan's counterfeit for faith.
100%. That's what happened to Adam and Eve.
Yes.
Especially Adam. He was presumptuous.
Yes.
God wouldn't be so exact.
Correct.
That was no faith.
Martin,
that one.
How do you think Martin Luther felt when he had to appear before all of those prelates and papal nuncios and kings and emperors and electors and standing there alone? Do you think he was presumptuous or was he totally dependent upon God?
Totally dependent. I mean, isn't it true, if I remember correctly, he asked for a little time?
Yes.
And he went
and prayed.
And prayed, and he came back, and then there was no presumption.
All right. Now, Martin, do you think it would have been possible for one man, despised as he was by all of these people, to be able to make such an impact if the Holy Spirit hadn't been there?
There's no way.
Impossible, right? Impossible. One man overturned the world. And Johann Hus, 100 years before, had said, today you are cooking a goose, because Hus also means goose. But in 100 years from now, there will come one that you will not be able to destroy.
Yeah.
Amazing, right?
And
that was an early rain. which exactly. exemplifies what can happen to a greater extent in the latter rain.
Exactly, because that's what I wanted to say now, is we are walking very quickly towards similar situations that we're going to be facing.
Absolutely, absolutely. The heavenly messengers seek to communicate all that they receive from God. And if they do that, shouldn't that be our aim as well?
Mm-hmm.
If you've discovered something and you say, wow, what's the first thing you should do?
Share.
Hoard it or run and share it?
Share.
Get clobbered afterwards, but that's
fine.
That's
the thing. So be ready for whatever you're going to face, but share.
Share it. The whole heavenly treasure awaits our demand and reception. And as we receive the blessing, we in our turn are to impart it. Thus it is that the holy lamps are fed and the church becomes a light bearer in the world. So the church consists of those that are willing to bear the light. This is the work that the Lord would have every soul prepared to do at this time, when the four angels are holding the four winds, that they shall not blow until the servants of God are sealed in their foreheads. There is no time now for self-pleasing. Mm. So when those winds are let loose, then the time of probation is over.
It's gone.
So you have to do the work now.
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 Right now. And self-pleasing must...
Isn't there a saying that says practice makes perfect?
Yeah.
Now, how many people say, I can't do this?
Just don't practice the wrong things that you get it perfect wrongly.
Oh, okay. How many people say, I can't do this?
Well, the Bible is also full of them.
Moses said, I can't do this.
A lot of
the
them.
Prophet said, I can't do this. Jonah said, kill me, I'm going to run away.
I'm finished.
Throw me overboard, I don't care. Kill me, I'm not going to do this.
Who's the one that is it Jeremiah that said, I'm finished preaching in this name?
Cursed be the man that brought the tidings to my family that a male child was born. What a poor guy have to do with it, right? He cursed him. So the Bible is full of those things, but the funny thing is they all did it.
Yes.
They all did it. They
come through. And what helped them to get through? The Holy Spirit was the one that...
And once you did it, then you can't really understand why you didn't want to do it in the first place. So there's no time now for self-pleasing. The lamp of the soul must be trimmed. They must be supplied with the oil of grace. Every precaution must be taken to prevent spiritual declension, lest the great day of the Lord overtake us as a thief in the night. Now the Bible says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness that it should overtake ye as a thief. Right?
Exactly.
We should be knowing where we are in the stream of time.
If we walk the straight and narrow by the help of the Holy Spirit and God working in us, then we can be ready. That won't overtake us like a thief in the night. This is the preparing. This is, will you be able to stand?
But if you read any of this, do you see any drum set that you beat like a pagan drum to see if you can get an outpouring of some spirit that will put you into an altered state of consciousness? Do you see anything like
this? No. I also don't see any confusion and rolling around on the floor.
None of it. This is all practical advice of what it entails. So you must be steeped in the word. You must understand the issue of the day. You must have practiced sharing it. And you must have reaped the benefits of that which you have shared, because it's a double-edged sword, right?
Yeah.
Even if it became negative.
It's fine.
Because sometimes the negative will make you dig deeper
so
that you can understand it even better.
Because sometimes you might have also had a little bit of a skew understanding.
Yes. And, you know, to be sealed is to be so settled in the truth that you cannot be moved. But to be settled in the truth doesn't mean to be deceived in a lie.
No.
So where do you find the truth? You try find it in that word.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have found it and you have internalized it and you've accepted it, then no matter what anybody says to the contrary, you can't be moved.
That's it.
Whether you take the Sabbath issue, whether you take the state of the dead mm-hmm. issue. I mean, if somebody confronts you, but I know because, you know, my deceased father appeared mm-hmm. to me or whatever, you won't be able to be moved by something like that because the word says otherwise.
Yeah. You have to be settled in that.
Correct. We may have long followed the narrow path, but it is not safe to take this as proof that we shall follow it to the end. If the righteous man turns from his righteousness and does that which is evil in the sight of the Lord, none of his former righteousness will be remembered. Mm. He will surely die. If the wicked man or the unrighteous man turns from his evil ways and does what is right in the eyes of the Lord, none of his former wickedness will be remembered. He will surely live. Turn from your evil ways, for why would you die, O house of Israel? Didn't Ezekiel say that or something to that effect?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. All right, so there's no guarantee that if you've followed the path that you can now be complacent. Mm-hmm. So that's not a safe thing to do. If we have walked with God in fellowship of the Spirit, it is because we have sought Him daily by faith. But those who do not cultivate the Spirit and habit of prayer cannot expect to receive the golden oil of goodness, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, and love. Martin, what are those?
The fruit of the spirit,
and their character as attributes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And those are the ones that you feel as if you're bleeding from this.
Why
working on it?
But aren't they all in harmony with our nature?
Well, not mine.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked.
And sometimes you'll be doing something. I was actually sitting one day, and I think I was on the phone, yes. And the more that I talk, the more that I say to myself, you should be quiet now. And the more that my mouth is going like this, and I said, be quiet, but it doesn't want to stop. So the flesh and the
brakes not work.
No. And it was it's still a struggle.
All right, Martin. So we have to nurture goodness, patience. My mother-in-law used to call me Herr Ungeduld, Mr. Impatience. So this has been a major, major hurdle, and long-suffering, gentleness, and love. So, Martin, these are all character issues.
But how do you receive them? How do you work on it? It has an answer there.
Yes, well, the Lord puts you in that crucible, and He makes you confront your skewed character attributes over and over and over again. And one of the best places, if I may say so, to be in a crucible is with the brethren.
Yes. In a ministry, in a church.
Yeah, Paul said, you know, he was beaten with rods. He received the lashings. He was shipwrecked.
Stoned.
He was stoned and left for dead. But the cherry on top was the brethren.
Yeah.
And if you read the Spirit of Prophecy, then it tells us that the Lord permitted that Paul should go to sleep earlier than he should have because of the brethren.
Sure.
So, Martin, the church is sometimes a good place to practice patience, long-suffering, gentleness, and love.
But if I read this also correctly, if you're going to do it without the habit of prayer,
you can forget it.
You can forget it.
Okay. Everyone is to keep himself separate from the world. That's another difficult one, right? What does that do with ecumenism?
That's gone. And politically correct is also gone.
Politically correct is gone. Okay. Which is full of iniquity. We are not to walk with God for a time and then part from his company and walk in the sparks of our own kindling or be double-minded.
Mm.
We are called to proclaim the special truths for this time. You can take each one of these sentences.
You can break it down.
And they can hit like a hammer, yeah. Right?
That's why sometimes this is how you read, and even Bible verses. Internalize it. See what this is meaning to you.
If you're constantly running up against the brick wall when you proclaim special truths for this time, what do?
You just pray and carry on.
And carry on. Reminds me, my wife was doing colporteuring. And she tried it for a while.
Mm.
And so she went from door to door. She had a naturally timid disposition. And she got to this house, and the man let her in, and then he locked the door. And he didn't do anything strange or anything like that, but it was rather, you know, disturbing. And then he let her have it because of what she was presenting, and he didn't like that theology. And eventually he physically threw her out the house, and she was very, very upset. And she wanted to give up, and then she said, "No, I'm gonna carry on. I'm gonna try once more." And she got to the next house, and there was a cleaning lady who opened the door. And as she opened the door, the little dog ran out. And the lady was desperate because she was responsible for the dog, and now the dog was out. So my wife ran after the dog and picked it up, and the dog panicked and
let it loose.
Let it loose, yeah, and spread diarrhea over her whole attire. And so she was covered in diarrhea, and she was exceedingly upset. She brought the dog back, went home, showered, washed, put on new clothes, and was determined to give up. And this little voice said, "Don't give
up." Once more.
So she went back, and she went to the third house, and there the people were interested and wanted to know everything. And sometimes you go through that process.
I think that's long-suffering as well. You just carry on.
Yes, and the circumstances weren't very pleasant. No. You know, being beaten up and you're worried and then being pooed over. And then finally. So you need to pray. And if you believe and you trust in God, it is the time for the latter rain when the Lord will give largely of his Spirit. Be fervent in prayer and watch in the Spirit. Now, can you only read this here, or can you find this in the Bible? That's everywhere.
Quoted from the Bible.
It's everywhere.
You get it.
So these are testimonies to ministers. So those are the issues that you need to bear in mind once you are still on that battered ship.
Yeah. And this is, we should start praying for the latter rain. But we should also know that we have to use the current rain, the early rain, the Holy Spirit working in us.
All right. Now, some people will say, well, why can't I jump off the ship? Why do I need to sit on that stupid thing? Well, the Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come.
Yeah.
Christ has a bride. And the Bible says, these are they that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus and the faith of Jesus. And these are they that keep the commandments so that they may have the right to the tree of life. Mm. So there are special attributes here.
Yeah.
You can't just ignore them.
No.
All right, some people are afraid for this time of trouble. Is that right?
Very true. I think most people, and like we've mentioned, did that other one a while back, it's an overwhelming surprise that will be catching the world.
Yes.
So some are a little bit afraid. How should we be?
Doesn't the Bible say that one will put 1,000 to flight?
Yeah.
Now, that's impossible without God working on your behalf, right? So here we have a promise of angelic protection in the time of trouble. Mm. It comes from Maranatha. In the day of fierce trial, he, Christ, will say, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed." Obviously, this is after the close of probation.
Yes, so this is after the ship has already struck. Everything has gone. So now the latter rain has come. That is past.
That's gone.
Yeah.
Then you will be dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Yeah. Isn't that right?
That's true. So,
what are the chambers in which they are to hide? They are the protected of Christ and holy angels. The people of God are not at this time all in one place. They are in different companies and in all parts of the earth. I saw the saints leaving the cities and villages and associating together in companies and living in the most solitary places. Angels provided them food and water, while the wicked were suffering from hunger and thirst. Now, Martin, is this only a promise here, or is this to be found in Psalms 91?
Yes.
1,000 will fall by your side, 10,000 at your right hand, it shall not come near you.
No.
And all of those promises are right there in Psalms 91. They are for the time of trouble. So here we're dealing with the post-probation time period.
So maybe it's important just to bring back a little just before this, because a lot of people, when you have clear instructions that you must look after yourself out of the cities, into the country, get for yourself a piece of land to produce your own food. There's some people that say, no, but
I can't do
according
it.
To this, God and the angels will look after you.
That's in the time of trouble. In
That's
the
later.
Little time of trouble, mm-hmm. before the close of probation, there will be a time period when you will still be able to do certain things. It'll be hard.
Yeah.
But God will take care of it. And it says you will come out in companies. If you can't do it by yourself, God will open a way.
Yeah.
So the point is, do not be anxious. Mm. The Bible says, my people will not leave in haste,
no.
because they will be prepared. The same when Jerusalem fell. When you see standing in the holy place the abomination of desolation, let the... as spoken of by the prophet Daniel, yeah. may the reader understand. They understood and they left.
Quietly.
Quietly. So angels provided them food and water. During the night, a very impressive scene passed before me. There seemed to be great confusion and the conflict of armies. A messenger from the Lord stood before me and said, "Call your household, I will lead you. Follow me." He led me down a dark passage through a forest, then through the clefts of mountains, and said, "Here you are safe." Now, not everybody will be led like that. Some will actually be in dungeons, or you may have been arrested. Then God will take care of you there too.
What did he do for Peter in the dungeon?
Exactly the same thing. The guards fell asleep. The chains fell off him.
Doors opened and he walked out.
And he walked out. There were others who had been led to this retreat. The heavenly messenger said, "The time of trouble has come as a thief in the night. As the Lord warned you, it would come." In the time of trouble, just before the coming of Christ, the righteous will be preserved through the ministration of heavenly angels.
Mm.
So sometimes there will be rioters, Martin, and they will want to even attack those that claim to keep the commandments and hold to the testimony. And then angels in the form of men of war will intercede and stop them from performing whatever they want to perform.
Also, just important, this is what we are talking about in the time of trouble. This is... after the close of probation.
After the close of probation.
Because before that, they will, unfortunately or fortunately, it just depends on how you see it, be martyrs.
Yes. But there will be no security for the transgressor of God's law. So, Martin, the time of trouble is more serious for the transgressor than it is for God's people.
That's it.
Angels cannot then protect those who are disregarding one of the divine precepts. In the closing period of Earth's history, the Lord will work mightily in behalf of those who stand steadfastly for the right. In the midst of the time of trouble, trouble such as not been since there was a nation, His chosen ones will stand unmoved. Now, anyone can be part of the chosen.
Yeah.
Because those that do the will of the Lord, are the chosen ones.
It's your choice.
Yes. Satan with all the hosts of evil cannot destroy the weakest of God's saints. Angels that excel in strength will protect them. And in their behalf, Jehovah will reveal himself as a God of gods, able to save to the uttermost those who have put their trust in him. Doesn't the Bible say he will give his angels charge over you?
Yeah, yeah. So important to realize here, we've got the latter rain that we were speaking about. So people wanted to know, how will we be able to stand? Through prayer, get yourself in the former rain ready for the latter rain. Then will you go to the close of probation.
Yes.
And you don't have to start, like you just mentioned earlier, you don't have to stress yourself into a coma.
No.
You put your faith in God and He will do the rest for you.
And in the moments of secret prayer, do some serious introspection.
Yes, that's what we have to get to now.
Saying, Lord, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Is this what you want me to be like? Mm-hmm. I have character defects. Can you help me to overcome them? I have thoughts running through my mind. I just had a long conversation with a young man who was in a serious condition. And he wants the way out. Now, the way of out is clearly spelled out, but you must take a step in that direction. Mm. You know, you have to put your foot into the Jordan before the waters will cease. And how many times do I have people saying, I want to do the right thing, and I'm going to put my foot in the Jordan, and you see them a year later, and they're totally transformed.
Mm. Mm.
Haven't we seen this in our ministry over and over and over again?
Many times.
So, Martin, introspection for the time of trouble is absolutely essential. So, Martin, that was all spirit of prophecy. Shall we read a little bit of Bible?
Yeah, let's put it together. See if it's in harmony.
Okay, now Thessalonians has a nice little section on such preparations. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Please don't stop reading there.
No. That's the most important thing. Read the whole thing.
How many people quote that?
Oh, everybody.
Everybody.
Especially when they want to go to a secret rapture.
Yes. All right. So don't worry about it. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So peace and safety, when they start talking that, when you can plainly see there is no peace and there is no safety in this world, right? There's no justice in it either.
No.
The thief walks on the streets and the murderer is set free. The molester and the rapist makes a plea bargain and walks the streets. It's unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
But ye, brethren, this is where you must pick up the story again in verse 4, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Can we please remember that?
So
that's what I want to talk about in the next one. Why is it not possible for those that are steeped in the Word of God to be caught like a thief in the night?
It's so important because this gives you hope. This gives you peace. Because you can put your faith in that if God is working in this current reign and you listen and you won't be overtaken.
You won't be. You will be expecting it.
Yeah.
In fact, you would be welcoming it. Because the alternative, a continuation of the situation that we have in the world today, is just unbearable.
Yeah.
I mean, how many tears are flowing into the rivers on a daily basis because of the condition of this world? I certainly hope that it'll end soon.
Me too.
Ye are all the children of light. Martin, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And you are children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. What is that Laodicean church doing?
Snoring.
Snoring. Snoring.
So it's not watching.
I see someone who said we should stop laughing because we're living in very serious times.
Maybe we can just explain again. We know exactly what serious times it is. And it's not a sarcastic laugh about it. It is a laugh of knowing that we also have some work to do still.
Yes.
And that we sit with these things and we see it. And when we see a snoring and we read it, then it's, wow.
Yeah, let's just carry on. So let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. Mm. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, must you know Christ in order to internalize that?
You must know the true Christ and what he's done for you.
No fake Christ. Now, what if you have this hard taskmaster picture of Christ waiting to throw you into purgatory so that he can purge your sins over the next millennium because you slipped up once?
No,
I don't have a God like that. Do you have one like that?
No, that's also not the Jesus of the Bible. You also don't have a Jesus of the Bible that says, oh, you carry on doing what you're doing. I'm okay. Because you once said my name, then you're okay.
Yes.
That also doesn't work.
All right. So I need to know Christ. I need to know the character of Christ. And I need to have befriended Christ.
Yes. He must be your king and your friend.
And your friend. And your brother.
And your brother. You're saying
all of it. Okay. It continues because he died for us. So surely he must be kind-hearted. He must be caring. Whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. The only reason why you would want to live together with him is because you have a personal relationship with him. So is it important to nurture a relationship like that? Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. The Bible also says, and they came together frequently.
Breaking bread.
And
well.
They ate together.
Yes.
And they shared their experiences together. This is what strengthens people, Martin. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor amongst you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace amongst yourselves. Does this happen all the time in the church, Martin?
This is what we have to work towards, for sure. If this is not
happening?
No, it's not happening. So when you know it's not happening, then we have to work in it.
There must be some work to be done, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And sometimes you have to look at somebody in a new light. Because maybe, you know, there are certain things that irritate you about someone. And stop looking at the negative.
Yes.
And look at the positive and see what a friendly word can do.
You know, the devil keeps us very busy.
Yes.
With negative thoughts, assumptions,
yes,
all sorts of things. When, like you just said, just even though you're walking in with a mindset, go and try something friendly.
Be friendly. Have you given someone that you don't really like a hug later and a smile?
Yeah.
All right, so those are little things that we can start nurturing and practicing, all right? And this is for love's sake, for love's sake. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men. Are we doing that?
I thought it's only those that you like.
I think it's particularly those that you don't like, Martin.
Patient toward all.
Martin, is that easy?
Well, I was just thinking about myself right now, and there's definitely, this is what we have to start practicing through prayer. This is the Holy Spirit working now.
Is it easy to cuddle up to a porcupine?
From the front, you can maybe try a little bit.
Not even from the front. What if you get as close as possible to the porcupine and ask them just to settle down their spines for a little bit and then get a little bit closer?
Yeah.
I mean, even a porcupine has to mate, right?
Yeah, yeah. And a porcupine, tame ones are very cuddly.
Are they cuddly?
Yeah, well, that's what I've heard.
Have you had a tame porcupine?
No, I've only had two wild porcupines in the middle of the night on my deck in front of me.
And what was your attitude?
I had to stand and get away because they didn't want to let me go. So,
are you telling me you were not kind and long-suffering towards them?
No, I have to definitely be more patient with that.
See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both amongst yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, and quench not the Spirit. This is good advice for receiving the latter rain.
For
you practice those things?
We have to. This must be our daily exercise routine.
How do you quench the Holy Spirit? By refusing to budge.
Just doing, if there's something, we had actually had a conversation a little bit earlier, and that's one thing that I've always remembered. If you ask God, God, show me things that I have to still change, then you're going to get and hear from the Holy Spirit, and then you have to decide if you're going to quench it or not.
Okay.
When there's things that you know that you have to change. You know it.
And then, what is this doing in the middle of this? He's talking about character, and he's talking about all of these things. And then he says, despise not prophesying.
It's like the brethren. It's because it's definitely going to be done.
But Martin, they will tell you when you start this, you're a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, you're a troubler of the breath. What? The troubler? What is that?
A troubler of Israel. Yeah, disturber of the brethren. And then you have to prove all things, hold fast that which is good. That means you have to have a filter in place.
Definitely. And not go and taste all the alcohol and the bad things out there and keep what's good. That's not what it means here.
No. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That's a tough one, right? And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. We've just had a long list of what it means to be sanctified.
Yeah. But you're
and
not
pray in God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Do you have to do it in your own strength?
This is the crux of the whole matter, and that's why we have to speak about that. Who stands between you and God?
You. You're the only one who stands there.
You're the only one. And through getting all of this, the peace among the brethren, all of this, like we mentioned in the early, there's an eye problem.
There's an eye problem. Remember that train vision or that train station vision where all that sort position were no longer there after this terrible shaking that had taken place, if you are constantly striving to be the boss man, then you will not be easily approachable.
No.
Now, Martin, when you walk into the place, do people want to avoid you because you are overbearing or bossy or this or something else? Or do people radiate towards you? What did they do to Jesus? Didn't they radiate towards him?
Yeah.
And they all came to him with all their troubles, and eventually the disciples says, you know, go away with all of these things and don't bother the master now, and what are all these children doing here? And he had time for them all.
You see, now that brings us back to that portion. Who were flocking to him? Those who knew they needed him.
Yes.
The others who thought, no, they're okay on their own.
The presumptive ones.
Yeah. You've got even the disciples. Get away with you.
Yeah.
So is that an object lesson for us?
That's an object lesson, yes. So, Martin, we need to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, what is the consequence of my presence?
That's
for
sure.
Is it scattering or is it drawing?
And am I going to learn from it? Or, yes. And I'm going to see if this is biblical, to change on it?
Yes. What do you get out of the statement which says, when I be lifted up, I will draw all men to you, yeah, to me? Mm. The lifting up is a demonstration of the character of God. Someone who is willing to die for you.
Yeah.
And there's no coercion in it. It's just looking at that character and contemplating that character that draws you to it. Like a moth to the to the light. So these are actually the things that prepare us for the latter rain. Can we say
that? This is a way you're going to be working on your character.
Yes.
Transforming it now with the help of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
To be ready for the latter rain.
So let's read it again in these writings. Jesus emptied himself in all that he did. Self did not appear. Isn't that what we just said?
Yeah.
Didn't we just get that out of the Bible?
100%.
He subordinated all things to the will of his Father. When his mission on earth was about to close, he could say, I have glorified thee on the earth. So we have to glorify Christ. That is our mission. And Martin, exposing false doctrine that places a negative view upon the character of God is a necessary thing sometimes, although some people will perceive it as attacking or harsh or whatever. But if they place the character of Christ in a wrong light, is it not our duty to correct it?
I believe it is.
Then you can say, I finished the work which thou gavest me to do, just like Jesus said, and he bids us, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let self be dethroned and no longer hold the supremacy of the self. As you said, that's the biggest obstacle between us and Christ. The biggest one is the self. He who beholds Christ in his self-denial, his lowliness of heart, will be constrained to say, as did Daniel, when he beheld one like the sons of men, my comeliness was turned in me to corruption. So what Daniel was saying, everything that I thought was grand and cool about me is actually rubbish.
And what I've
rubbish.
Done. Everything that I've done, the way that I preached, the way that I'm just, and when you beheld Christ, you
yes.
say, oh, I'm nothing.
So the independence and self-supremacy in which we glory are seen in their true vileness as tokens of servitude to Satan.
That is strong words.
Well, that's exactly what Daniel just said.
Exactly.
His comeliness, that which was cool and wonderful, was corruption.
Corrupt.
It means it's dead. It means nothing. Human nature is ever struggling for expression, ready for contest. But he who learns of Christ is emptied of self, of pride, of love, of supremacy, and there is silence in the soul. Self is yielded to the disposal of the Holy Spirit. Is there any room for narcissism here?
Not at all. And that is something that's really gotten out now, how people can understand how the thought pattern of certain people become.
All right, so narcissism is actually an attribute of Satan.
Yeah, for sure.
When you want to manipulate people and control people and gaslight people and all of these things, then you should really sit down, have some serious introspection. And because you cannot, in your own strength, change those attributes, you have to learn to surrender to Christ. And you can only do that in the inner chamber in the prayer room.
So you see, what's important is, if you've listened to this and you say, but I'm not like that, make sure, do the introspection, pray, and make sure. Because when Satan is supremacy is in your life, you won't even realize sometimes.
No, you won't realize it.
That this is what you are doing to others.
Can you grant the same freedom to others that you wish for yourself?
That's a very good test that you have. In all spheres and in all levels.
And if you have this propensity to control others' work and actions.
Even if you think it's with good intention.
Yes. Can you hold it back?
That's what you have to do.
And now the worst of it, let's say you're extremely capable at something and you find someone who is doing it in an extremely incapable way. Is there a way in which you can address the issue that is non-narcissistic?
It's so important. What does it mean to be in that to non-narcissistic? It means
selflessly help someone.
Yes, so not
as opposed to bossing him around.
Not telling him that actually you're doing it wrong. You should only be doing it like I'm doing it.
Yes. No. All right. So what does this all mean? Self is yielded to the disposal of the Holy Spirit. That's the alternative. Then we are not anxious to have the highest place. We have no ambition to crowd and elbow ourselves into notice, that we feel that our highest place is at the feet of our Savior. So, Martin, if you're constantly angling for this position, and the disciples were all doing it.
I love this statement. You elbow yourself into, I'm getting in here. I'm going to be
Jesus says, go and sit in that back row. And then when the master comes and says, friend, come up higher. That's not embarrassing. But the reverse is exceedingly embarrassing. Yeah. Okay.
I love it.
We look to Jesus, waiting for his hand to lead, listening for his voice to guide. The Apostle Paul had this experience and he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is a transformation that takes place when you allow Christ into the heart, but then in order to do that you have to dethrone self.
And then when you've done that, like we've spoken before, just to bring it back, then you've let the early rain work. Then imagine just what the latter rain can do when you bring it to others.
And then it is safe to sit with him in his throne.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Because else you will be a tyrant and a hard taskmaster. Yes. You become like Satan. So when we receive Christ as an abiding guest in the soul, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Savior's life on earth, though lived in the midst of conflict, was a life of peace. While angry enemies were constantly pursuing them, he said, "He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Quoting John 8:29, no storm of human or satanic wrath could disturb the calm of that perfect communion with God. That's why I could sleep in the boat.
While everything was raging.
Master, do you not care?
Yeah.
Is that not what they said?
And this is what we're going to be facing. We're going to be asking, where are you?
Where are you? Look at what the ship looks like.
Happening to this church.
Look at this barge. It's in a mess. And he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest. Bear with me the yoke of service for the glory of God and the uplifting of humanity, and you will find the yoke easy and the burden light. It is the love of self that destroys our peace. So, Martin, these are all very important things for receiving the latter rain. So while self is alive, we stand ready continually to guard it from mortification and insult.
So we're very protective of this self.
Very protective. But when we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God, we shall not take neglects or slights to heart. We shall be deaf to reproach and blind to scorn and insult. So obviously you're going to receive those.
Yeah, but you're not going to be perturbed by it.
Yes, you're not going to have a speed wobble.
Yeah, okay, nervous breakdown because somebody in the church or somebody there
said something mean. How many people say, well, they weren't kind to me, I'm never going back?
Exactly. No.
Love suffereth long.
It also comes back. Why do you want to jump the ship? Because it's getting a little bit hard to go through the other stuff.
Yeah, but swimming across that ocean is also a little bit hard,
I think,
right?
That's a little bit harder.
Yeah. So love suffereth long, it's kind, it envieth not, vaunteth not itself. We know all of these, you know, it hopes all things, endureth all things, it never fails. I think God gave us families and children so that we can learn these things in a small circle and then apply it to a bigger circle.
And then to be ready to apply it in heaven.
If you have children, you learn that you forgive whatever they have done, even if it is a terrible thing, and start again. And some people may not do that, but generally speaking, that is what you learn in a family. Mm. Or in a relationship, like a marriage. Fortunately, you never have to say sorry, hey, Martin.
No, I do.
Okay, let's leave it. So happiness drawn from earthly sources is as changeable as varying circumstances can make it. But the peace of Christ is a constant and abiding peace. It does not depend on any circumstances in life. On the amount of worldly goods or the number of earthly friends, Christ is the fountain of living water, and happiness drawn from him can never fail. So you can know times of prosperity, you can know times of poverty, but if you have love, you can get through all of them. So the meekness of Christ manifested in the home will make the inmates happy.
It's
just true.
And it will be in church as well.
Yes, same with the church. It provokes no quarrel, gives back no angry answers, soothes the irritated temper, diffuses a gentleness that is felt by all within its charmed circle. Wherever cherished, it makes the families of earth a part of the one great family above. So that's the practicing ground. We have lots of practicing grounds.
And we're right in it now. And so if we want to get through this, let's start practicing this.
Ah, okay, Martin. So we can practice in the inner circle, in the slightly bigger circle, in our case now, clash of minds, or verity, or the church,
or
the conference, or the union, or the division, or the worldwide church.
That's it. It's all part of these family.
And everywhere you go, you will find people that need comfort.
Yeah, definitely.
And everywhere you go, you will find bullies and narcissists. Mm-hmm. It's part of the deal.
And we all have to work on our character because all of us have an eye problem.
Correct.
Get rid of it.
So far better would it be for us to suffer under false accusation than to inflict upon ourselves the torture of retaliation upon our enemies. The spirit of hatred and revenge originated with Satan and can bring only evil to him who cherishes it. Sometimes I think it's necessary to set the record straight.
Yes, but not with a vengeance. No. Not with. It depends on your spirit with what you're doing.
Set the record straight and then be prepared to push the reset button.
Get it out, talk it out, and reset.
But then really reset.
Yes.
Don't dig it up.
No, when it's along the line.
2 years ago you did that. And I still remember it today, and you're not going to get away with it.
Exactly. No. If Jesus had to forgive you like that, how would that go?
He's not supposed to do that with me, but I'm allowed to do it with others, yeah. Right? Doesn't make sense.
No.
Okay, so don't retaliate. You can discuss it. The Bible says do that. If your brother has a problem with you, go and sort it out. Doesn't the Bible say that?
Yeah.
If he doesn't want to listen, take someone with him. If they don't want to listen, then take it to the church. You can go the whole hog. But when you treat someone like a tax collector, remember how Jesus treated the tax collector.
Exactly. Just want to answer something in here. And don't be an Achan. If you know that you are guilty of something,
confess your sins
and carry on. Don't let it go through the whole place. And eventually when it gets to you and you still don't want to acknowledge, then you just say sorry just because you're caught.
Yes. So lowliness of heart, that meekness, which is the fruit of an abiding Christ, is the true secret of blessing. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Psalms 149:4. So Martin, we could have given a long list of preparations for the latter rain and for the time of trouble where we say, you know, purchase this, purchase that, keep that in your house, have your storeroom ready and, you know, all the physical things.
Yeah.
But the physical things won't save you.
No. And it won't bring you the peace.
No. So it's more important that we first look at the spiritual and not leave the latter undone.
I believe that when you really let the Holy Spirit work and you get your relationship ready and practice these things and that transformation, the Lord will impress you on getting that other things done.
He'll take care of that too. So I would like to end on this little quote. Mild measures, soft answers, pleasant words are much better fitted to reform and save than severity and harshness. Martin, is that the best preparation for an abundance of rain?
Yeah. From what we've read just now, we are in practicing and in right now.
So we're in a school.
Yes. In a crucible.
In a curriculum. And the failure rate is often high.
Yeah.
But let's strive to enter into the gate via the narrow path.
That's it. And maybe we can just remind everybody that don't believe that you've arrived.
No, nobody has arrived. We're all on a journey. Mm. So let's support each other. You know, sometimes in a marathon you see where somebody will even give up his first place to go and help someone who's really struggling.
I think that is the way to run it.
Let's run it that way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to be ready for the latter rain. We have to be steeped in the Word. We have to understand the roadmap. We have to know where we are going. We must understand the obstacles that need to be overcome. We need to be ready in season and out of season with words of admonition, words of encouragement. And we need to have the attributes within us before we can share them with others. So I pray to help us in this regard and bring us to that point where we can walk in unity with our brethren so that in unity we can cry loud and bring others to the point where they can see the truths which separate the righteous from the unrighteous. That's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.